You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hey, guess what? You got a second episode this week. As if the 2-hour episode, well, I guess it's an hour and a half that we put out this week wasn't enough fun. We get to have some more fun because, I mean, it is summer blockbuster season, which is my busy time because we do a lot of entertainment around here, especially of nerdy type things in the summer. They're appealing to us nerdy, nostalgic people by not only giving us a new Top Gun movie, but a new Jurassic franchise movie. I don't know what to call it. Is it still Jurassic Park franchise? Because now it's been Jurassic World. I don't know. We'll just call it the Jurassic franchise, I guess. But yes, we had a new film, and that came out. We'll talk about the mixed reviews it's getting right now and share our opinion on that. Plus, we're also going to go back and talk about the classic Jurassic Park.
In the summertime when the movies are hot.
And there is the Lost Boy, Pastor Phil. He is here with me once again. And it just seems like we were just here discussing Top Gun, I swear, 5 minutes ago.
Either that or I'm having a seizure. I'm not sure which.
Please don't. We don't need you to seize up on us there because I don't want to wear you out. But, well, my goodness. But, yeah, have as much fun as we can possibly have. And, heck, I'm still playing it. We're going to have a show. We got to talk about Lightyear this weekend. And even after that, we got a Thor movie, an Elvis movie. There's just so much stuff.
I can't wait to see the Elvis movie.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to see Thor either.
I mean, I look forward to all I just got done watching a great documentary that came out a couple years ago of Elvis. It's on the HBO Max. Man, that was great.
I'm going to have to look for it.
It was wonderful. I enjoyed that a tremendous amount.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours because it was like two different parts of it. And both sides, both of them were like a 2-hour thing. Oh, it was wonderful.
So we'll be talking Elvis later, but not on this show.
Not this show.
But we've got lots of fun little different news. And we'll go talk about what we've been watching, what we've been playing. And there's the end of the thing. So I had to make sure I introduced everything we're going to talk about on the show before the music ended. Because that's what a good host does. I'm a good host, I am. Mm-hmm. People like me. Right?
So you would be a host. We can't say hostess, so we'll say host cupcake.
I'm the host. I'm the host with the most.
You're the host with the most, baby.
I'm the host with the most, baby.
Oh, but yeah, we're going to just dive right into it. Although, I guess, all right, now I get to tell some fresh stories of the week, I guess, because we're starting a new thing. And I promised I was going to talk about, I guess, what I did in St. Louis. Is that what we talked about?
Something to that effect.
I was going to tell some stories here. But I went down, another great podcast, and we've heard from James Kennison of That Story Show a couple times. He's been on the show. Him and even his co-host was on one time. But I went down to St. Louis this past weekend. He was having an event. They call it NarthexCon. And it was just kind of it's a day trip
for
us.
That's what it was.
They were recording three different podcast episodes for three different shows over there. They were recording live with a live audience. And so, you know, what was fun about this is like, you know, Heather, she's an introvert. She's heard some of that story show, and she's commented on like that she'd like to maybe tell a story to them one of these days, because it's a comedy show, and it's basically you share if they talk about it, it's like, don't get embarrassed or go upset when something like this happens, to say that this belongs on that story show. And so you go and submit your stories with like those dumb things that happen that are actually, when you look back at it, it's funny. Although some stuff that people send in, I don't think it's funny that the story happened, but I think what becomes funny is poor James Kennison. But he reacts like I react, but he has this freak out, oh! And that's part of the fun, is trying to freak James Kennison out.
Yes.
But that's part. But they did. He's got the Gospel of Kennison, which is like his own, you know, personal journey. Also, the Red School Bus, which is the kid version of that story show, where any story that's maybe not appropriate for anyone under 10 will not be making into the regular, or, you know. But Red School Bus is for the 10 and under.
Yeah, I understand.
And he runs it actually with usually he's had his daughter, his son, and now he's got his co-host son that works with him on that show.
That's nice.
But that kid's starting to hit puberty, and his voice is dropping, so he's already going to get out the new kid.
Oh, cute.
But we drove out there for that. And Heather, who wasn't sure that she was, you know, she's like, well, I'm not really excited for this. But she had a good time. And what I thought just touched my heart there there was a little boy that, because he had an icebreaker game for us all to play, where he had a list of all these different things. So find somebody who's been to Disneyland, find somebody who eats children, kids' cereals, and find somebody who does, you know, all these fun stuff. Yeah,
for
I felt that
there.
Yeah, eats children. Yes, yes, get into my candy house. Come on, Hansel. Hansel. Anyway, but there was this little boy. He says, like, I just listened to your episode.
Aww.
And I was like, well, which one? Then I was like, oh, you mean like the Icicle Killer episode? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, because the Icicle Killer, I was telling, I was on the guesting on their show and telling the story that Scott Browner once told us. But if you want to hear about the Icicle Killer, you're going to have to go download that story show and find out about the Icicle Killer.
Very smooth.
Yes, indeed. Go check out that show. Which, James Kennison, I'm still working out the details. He will be on next episode here, because he is the biggest Buzz Lightyear fan you'll ever know. And so, of course, he's probably going to be my co-host for next week, though, by the way.
Good,
so you get a week off.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
So, I'll just do a whole show with him. It'll be fun. Because we'll do although I'd like to get your thoughts on the Lightyear movie after we see it. But, you know, we'll figure that out maybe, too. But I want his thoughts on the Lightyear movie after he sees it. Plus, tell, you know, what makes Buzz Lightyear so good. So cool.
Yes.
So that'll be next episode.
He's a specialist.
He's a specialist. He's got a huge Buzz Lightyear collection.
That's awesome.
This is a man that has more than one copy of Toy Story movies on VHS.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's had photos of his shelf like, wow.
Hey, look, man, that sounds like something I would do. Like, I have several copies of Big Trouble in Little China. And
you got multiple Superman figures
around
here,
too.
Oh, I do,
and I got multiple of Superman itself, just in case something happens, the one that I got.
Yeah, and I'd say he's probably got more Buzz Lightyear toys than you've got Superman toys, even.
Cool.
I kid you not. I mean, wow. He is a big fan of Buzz Lightyear.
I actually sometimes will have extra Supermans, and I'll give some away to kids.
Yeah, of course.
Depending, I'm not talking about the ones I'm at door, but I have extras of different things, and if someone gave me one, I don't give those away. But because if someone came over and saw that, you know, I'm not a creep. But anyway, I have so much stuff. I just you can't outdo it. I love Superman. Yeah. Loves it. Just like Buzz Lightyear. Buzz
Indeed.
Lightyear is so great.
Yeah, I do love me some Buzz Lightyear as well. So.
And as far as Woody goes, I will say this: I love what Woody is named after.
I forgot what
Woodrow.
Was he really?
Yes, Woodrow is Woodrow.
But I thought I heard something. There was some specific. I know, like Buzz Lightyear was kind of a Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin,
you know.
But Woodrow of Woodrow F. Call from Lonesome Dove.
See, I thought it was I always took it as the joke that he was supposed to be like a wooden toy, but I guess he's supposed to be plastic.
They call him Woodrow.
Well, heck, far.
Yeah, I had no idea.
But he was basically, though, we found out he was Howdy Doody.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's Woody Doody. Mm-hmm. Woodrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Woodrow F. Call from Lonesome Dove, which is my favorite movie, which is technically a miniseries. But you put it together, a six-hour movie. It's great.
Woo. If you can sit there for 6 hours and watch it, and you can.
I do.
And you do.
And a lot of times I'll just watch it. And I'm not the only one. I've heard of people sometimes just watch a bit of a time throughout the weeks.
Episodic.
Yeah, oh, it's great.
you could watch it like an hour a week.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing about it is sometimes I'll just watch it like an hour and a half movie because it's what each episode is about, an hour and a half. Yeah. So, yeah, well, it's great.
You could.
Yep. Wonderful.
But to move us on into the regular features here, let's get into some host chatter. What have you been watching? And what I watched this week, and I actually just finished watching it today because I wanted to be able to talk about it. And we talked about last episode when we played the teaser. It's like, well, we'll talk about this more next week. I watched the first episode of Ms. Marvel, the newest Marvel series. Now, where I wanted to give a credit is they're trying to be kind of creative with this. Although what they're doing is basically, if you've seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World, it's very much styled like that.
Oh, okay.
They've done some things where if she's going to fall back on something onto her bed, the camera's going to follow her in that movement.
Oh, okay.
So they're trying to keep fast camera movements. And when she's having a conversation with her best friend, the stuff they're talking about, of like because they're making a costume, it will be animated in the graffiti behind them. Oh, so they're always doing multiple things.
So that is kind of like Scott Pilgrim. It's very Scott Pilgrim. So it's kind of comedic then.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to go for some humor levels in this, and that's it. Really sets this series apart from other Marvel series and the style of it, to where I can't take it seriously of being in the same universe.
Oh,
I mean, it's kind of fun to watch, but it's very stylized. I think definitely geared towards maybe, and even the first episode was called Generation Y or Generation Z. I think the episode's called Generation Y, but I mean it's aimed at that younger generation.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Because it's got to be that quick hop SpongeBob level humor where it's got to be every 5 seconds something is happening.
Yeah, it's too, that kind of stuff. This is for me. I've got issues, and it's almost too fast. It almost hurts me.
Yeah, but it's like there's always got to be constant stuff, and like I feel like I can't pay attention to the conversation going on because I'm looking at everything happening in the background that's supposed to be illustrating it. It's a little distracting.
Yeah.
But my brain didn't grow up with a phone, so you know they're not aiming it at 45-year-old me. But I did say I will say that I did kind of enjoy it. It was it's a lot of that typical, like, oh, okay, we have to make the underdog character. Oh, yes, there's the school nerd who's suddenly going to get superpowers. It's like, oh, now here we go again. Haven't we seen this a bazillion times? Spider-Man did it first, but now everybody thinks they need to do the same thing.
I'd like to see the upper dog be the underdog. Like talking about the popular kid in school, the super popular kid in school that has everything. To see that isn't having everything. Sometimes it's having too much.
That's been done too.
Where the
major ego that thinks they're so great gets that humbled and realize that they don't. It's like they don't realize the effect they're having, and they make a change. Thor was that.
That's not what I mean though. What I mean is like where people see that the cheerleader, the most popular cheerleader, really has a lot on her plate.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's
been done.
That's good.
But and it can be done really well because they have to take the responsibility and realize. Maybe they haven't treated people the way they should have because of their ego. And that's
true.
Thor
was great.
Thor maybe was not the greatest movie, but I liked it that they had that his lesson that he learned. And, you know, it's I'm thinking of a Nirvana song all of a sudden, Serve the Servants.
I also love the director of Thor.
Yes, Kenneth Branagh.
He'd make some great films.
Yes, he does.
Because he's great with Shakespeare
and
all that.
He's a great actor. He does so many fun
things. He's one of my favorites.
I love him in the Harry Potter franchise. Oh, yeah. He's so funny. I've even seen him play Henry V.
He's great in Shakespeare. Yes. Of course, I like Shakespeare, but yeah, he's good at that stuff.
Indeed. I'm doing my best experience.
I thought you were doing it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh right into the microphone that loud. I apologize.
That was hilarious. The thing is, though, that's great about it is he brings a lot of Shakespearean qualities to his films. And people think what they will, but I'll tell you, a lot of our great stories have Shakespearean. For instance, Lion King is the retelling of Hamlet.
Yep.
And some great stuff.
Is indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So overall, I'd say Ms. Marvel. I don't know if I'll watch. I might go ahead and watch the second episode.
I'll watch one.
It's worth taking a look. Yeah. I had some fun with it, and I'm going to see where they're going with it.
Yeah.
I'll
have to watch it.
I could give or take, but I did enjoy it for. You know, I don't think it's as good as some of the other Marvel series, but then again, to give it time to develop.
My problem is I get confused with this Ms. Marvel thing. I guess I was thinking of the character. What's her name? Marvel Girl or Marvel? What?
Well, she was Miss Marvel, and then she's become Captain Marvel.
Okay, see, that's the problem. My brain.
They wanted a new Miss Marvel, and so
my brain gets confused with the names of things. Yeah. I was like, oh, what's wrong with
this? So it's a little weird. I mean, they gave her somebody else's name and somebody else's powers in the comics, so I was like, who cares? But now they've brought the character around because, well, we wanted to have some more females, and they, hey, the cool thing about her, she's also Muslim. And I was afraid that they were going to overdo it with, like, look, we have a Muslim character here. Do you see our Muslim character? And some of the fan people have acted, I think, that way. But I don't feel like this episode did that.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it just was just part of her character.
That's who she is.
Yeah, it's just part. And I was like, that's the way to do it. Just make it just a part of who she is. Because, I mean, they did not make a big deal at all about Mark Spector supposed to be Jewish. You would not have even realized it in the series if you didn't know, if he didn't at one point have his yarmulke on his head. Yeah. But they did not make a big deal of it. But they really integrated as part of her life. And you get to see how the way she's being raised. Her parents are very, very, you know, I guess, in a conservative sort of way of like that Muslim, you know, like you need to, as a Muslim, you're trying to earn your way into heaven.
Yeah.
Basically. And so they're very strict on what these, like, you know, especially her mother. His mother is really trying to guide her and keep her very traditional and stuff.
Sure.
Tradition. You know. So her being Muslim does factor into the way her parents treat her and the way she's being raised, and it makes a part of who she is. Like, that actually integrates very well to just develop the character. So I like the way it was done.
Yeah.
So I'll keep watching until if something becomes stupid, then I'll be like, oh, man. Because I'm not really a big fan of the character. But, overall, I did enjoy the first episode. It took me a while to warm up to it. But I was like, you know, this isn't bad. I mean, and the actress, I think, is doing a wonderful job. She's a likable character. She's got just enough charisma to
About what age do you think the character is? Because I didn't know. I haven't watched it.
She's just turned 16.
Okay, I was going to say, because she looked about 15 to me.
There's a pretty funny part where she tries to take her driving test, and I won't tell you what happens, it's a pretty funny thing, and you're just like, you feel for her, like, oh.
Sure, that's a hard age.
Yeah, trying to do the driving test, and like, yep. So, but there's a lot of just fun, but it's... There's so much animated stuff, and even there's a whole scene where they're planning how they're going to go to Avenger Con or whatever, that that is so very animated.
Avenger
Con. Yeah. But this would have almost been served better as a animated series.
Oh, really?
Yes. The way it was stylized, I'm like, this is kind of neat, but this feels like it should have been an animated series. I bet they could do. I think they presented her in some of the Avengers cartoons. I think they've brought the character in.
Must see.
So she's been animated before, but, you know, given her own animated series, might have worked with the style they're doing. But, you know, they're doing a live action as if it's animated, which makes it feel weird within the Marvel universe. But then again, the last couple Thor movies, including this new one, have been a very different stylistic. But yet somehow another fits in the Marvel universe because they're doing the art style and the color scheme of like the classic Thor comics. So
I like that director.
Yes, Taika Waititi. He's so great.
Well, he's involved with the
Did you see Obi-Wan? Is he helping out with the Obi-Wan series?
Mm-hmm. He's in it.
I don't think I've seen him pop up yet.
Yeah.
Ooh. But did you see his it was a good heartfelt movie. And yet funny. It's about the kid growing up in Germany with the Nazis, and Taika Waititi pops in as his version of Hitler. Yes. Did you see that movie? I can't think of the name of it.
I didn't see it, but I saw bits of it.
Oh, wow. It's the feels.
Yes.
It'll get you in the feels because it's a kind of a growing up movie, but it's just in the weird setting of growing up in a Nazi Germany, and him meeting the Jewish girl that he's been taught that she's this horrible monster, and he was like, where are your fangs? You know, that finding out that she's just a human being, and oh, right in the feels.
Yeah, I saw that
right bit, in the feels, but yet very funny. What was the name of that movie? I remember watching it when I was in the hotel when the house was flooded. And I was like, I was very curious about it. It's like, and I like this director, so I want to see it. And I said, I don't think I saw it from the absolute, but maybe I did catch it from near the beginning, but watched it. And oh, wow. Right in the feels.
Right in the feels.
Good movie. Scarlett Johansson as his mother.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh,
and there's some stuff that's kind of hard to watch because it's sad, but it has a happy feel, but there's some sad things to happen as he's growing up. But I'm sorry I can't think of the name of the movie. Some of you are probably screaming it at your phone right now. But I don't know if I ever did a review out on the show, but I really enjoyed that movie. It was really good. Right in the feels, brother. Well, laughing all the way, though, right in the feels. So, yes. What have you been playing? Well, today was the day that PS Plus became merged with PS Now. So for $17.99... a month, of course, you can do it, pay for the whole year if you want to, and I would maybe like to do that, or you can pay for like a 3-month, but this gives you access to classic PS PS1 games, PS2 games, PS3 games, PS4 games. If I had a PS5, I could play it on there. But all these old classic games plus gives me the ability to play online. And so now I'm actually paying for that membership.
Do they have the original Twisted Metals?
I'll bet they're in there somewhere.
I want to find them.
I bet you could.
I like to find them.
You have to browse the library.
Well, to look.
This now gives me I'm going to add free games to my library because I guess you'd call it a reboot of the God of War franchise and making a completely different style of game. I've sampled it a little bit streaming a long time ago, but I now have it in my library because it's the free game this month. But what I've ended up playing now is I downloaded today the Spider-Man Miles Morales game, and I finally got the chance to sit down and play with that.
Good.
A bit. And I'm enjoying it so far. It's one of the things I've got to say I'm enjoying is Miles, he's only had spider powers for like a few months, and he's still getting used to it, and they did just enough. Sometimes when he lands on a very small thing, he'll awkwardly go, okay.
Yeah.
Like he's keeping his balance. Guy, yeah. He's not as perfected. His fighting is not as clean. Yeah. I've noticed like I have a harder time taking down some of the common thug type characters with Miles. He's not as, you know, taking him down as quickly as I was when I was playing the full Spider-Man, but I was like, and he's got a completely different combat style. It's like he's adjusting. So I like that. I feel like we're at that learning to be Spider-Man a little bit. And but it's kind of been fun to kind of play because it's like he feels to play a little different, and he's got a different power with this Venom bioelectric thing that he has, which comes in handy because you can like break up a guarding, you know, if some enemy's blocking, you're like, yeah, Venom Punch, boom, you know. So he's got some really neat combination of some bioelectric powers that he has. So yeah, I've been enjoying it so far, but I love his. The way he swings, the way he fights and everything is very much his own way. And it's a little bit of awkward, like he's still getting comfortable with it. But it's also him, you know, kind of finding his own way around and doing things. And he's some of his stealth takedowns are not as finessed as we saw in the Spider-Man game. But in the Spider-Man game, we're supposed to be dealing with somebody who's been Spider-Man for like 10 years or so, or, you know, like that. And now we're getting somebody who's had it just a few months. So he's like, he's got style, but he's not as finesse. And it's kind of neat. And I'm kind of hoping, like, maybe by the end of the game, he's going to, like, because, you know, you level up the character. I would like to see him get better and better throughout the game.
I have the game. I want to play it a couple times myself because I play other things, too. Yeah. But, I've seen it. But, that's what I play the most.
Yeah.
Mostly with the creation and the playing, but mostly the creation because I'm an artist. But my nephew.
He loved it.
My nephew Wally, nuts about it.
Oh, Freddie was loving it, too.
But my nephew Wally, he's done so much of it. And he just gets really into it. He'll look at me and go, can I play Miles Morales? Yeah, you can play Miles Morales. And so he'll get down here and he'll just play for hours and hours and hours. And sometimes he'll say, I know you got to go, but when you're gone, can I play Miles Morales? He'll say, and I'll say, yeah, you can play Miles Morales. And but he always asks me very politely. And so I let him play Miles Morales, as he calls it. And he just loves the heck out of it. And he just really gets into it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Of course, the original Spider-Man game was a lot of fun. It's a perfect
connection. But what I like about the game, from what I played of it, it does feel different, but I like that. Like the wrestling game, it's when you play a different character, it doesn't feel exactly the same.
Yeah, like, he feels differently.
There's different types of guys. You have the high flyers, you have the big, heavy dudes, and each one's different, and I like that. That's why you don't want to get used to just one person.
Yeah.
And the same with Miles and them. I like that, because not everybody does do the same things.
Yeah. Miles like is kind of, even though Peter's, you know, kind of teaching him, he's still developing his own style. And what's even cool is, like, the Spider-Man PS4 game, like, there wouldn't be much music. And then when you'd leap off a building, it's like he had his own theme song.
Yeah.
And it would swell as you would swing through the city. And now we've got the same style, but now the music is more Miles, where it's like a little bit, you got that little bit of a hip hop style, but yet still has almost an epic superhero feel. But it feels more like Miles than it does Peter. It's really, really neat. They did a great job with it. I can't wait until that Spider-Man 2 game comes out eventually.
That'd be fine.
Until then, I'm gonna see if I can finish this. You know, before I start playing that Ninja Turtle game by the end of the week.
Don't lie to yourself,
brother. I'm gonna try, but I probably will not have it finished by then.
I didn't mean to. That sounded a little bit like the goblin from
Well, the thing is that Ninja Turtle game, I'm probably gonna want to spend more time playing that online with you.
Oh yeah,
and that's more of an arcadey thing. So
I'll get it.
I'm gonna sit down and play with you, and then I'll probably be playing Spider-Man until I finish it,
dude.
You better believe.
I'll be
the issue you and I are gonna have is we both Leonardo's our top turtle.
Leo's, but you're more of a Michelangelo personality. I mean, you know,
I'm a little, on my inner side is Leonardo, but my outer side comes out as a Michelangelo.
I'm more of a,
I have that responsibility, but I like to have some fun. But Michelangelo is one of my top ones as well. I love Mikey. So what I was thinking I was probably going to do is I'm going to let you be Leo out of the goodness of my heart, and I probably will be playing as Mikey.
Yeah,
because I do love, and I
like them all.
And I even got to interview Townsend Coleman, the voice of Michelangelo, from the time.
That's great.
And that's one of the things I love about this game.
What's his name again? Voice,
Townsend Coleman.
Townsend Coleman, that's a cool name.
So I got to talk to him, and he did some Michelangelo voices. And I was like, oh, I was just tickled.
You know,
I want to have Cam Clark, the voice of Leonardo, one of these days.
Oh, I love his voice.
Yes, indeed. He voiced so much stuff.
I was going to say, he was on lots of stuff.
A lot of video games, too. I mean, Liquid Snake and the Metal Gear Solid. I mean, he's iconic for that. And then also in World of Warcraft, he's done some playable character.
But Raphael, man, he was on Rob Paulson.
I did get a chance to talk to him, but I wasn't able to record an interview. But I was able to ask him about the newer Ninja Turtles.
He was even on Gummy Bears, remember?
Yes, Gusto.
Gusto.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I've gotten to talk to him, Rob Paulson. He's an awesome guy.
I mean, you could almost throw a rock in the middle of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And Yakko, there he is. And some character off of the other genius that's not right,
he's Yakko.
Oh, he's so funny as a Yakko.
You remember so all the songs?
I'm hurting my neck looking at you.
You know he can sing, too, because as Yakko, he had to sing almost every episode. Yes.
But he's back being the voice. The original cast is back to voice this game.
That's great. Except that's great.
Unfortunately, the voice of Shredder, he has passed away.
Yes, James Avery. We love him.
I dedicated an episode to him. So it's unfortunate he's not back.
But I don't remember if I told you this. Maybe I did. But he played Uncle Phil. And whenever that he died, one of my...
On Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, yeah.
Whenever he passed away, one of my cousin-in-laws, we can call her, his wife, she goes, oh, Uncle Phil died. And their daughter fell down and started crying and said, oh, I love him. They thought they were talking about me.
I knew it was going that way.
And it was so sweet because he cried so hard and just right in the middle of the floor. And it just broke my heart. It was Isabel. Anyway,
oh, goodness.
She stood up and cried. She said, no,
not him.
The TV version. Yeah, and she said it was an actor who played a guy named that. So she got up wiping her. They said she was wiping away a bunch of tears. She goes, good. He's my favorite. Is what she said. I thought, oh, that got my heart.
Oh, my heart. But since we're going to talk some games here, I think we better start the news. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
I swear, it's like the main thing I do anymore is I cover video games. But that's okay. Video games and movies, brother. That's the way I live my life.
You hate video
according
games.
According to my little time. Okay. I was referencing a terrible movie franchise, by the way. All right, now I'm going to get the hate mail.
What movie franchise is that?
Fast and Furious.
Oh, I think
it's one of those bad lines. So, you know,
let us see what they're going to say. I think they're bad, too. But that's just me.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was an Xbox Bethesda, I guess a showcase, which is what you would call it. Here on Sunday, where they were going and talking about some of the games coming out that are, because Bethesda was bought by Xbox or by Microsoft. Now, for Philip, who is not familiar, and maybe if you're not following along at home, Bethesda is the people who like the Elder Scrolls series and a few other franchises, but mainly like the Elder Scrolls, like Skyrim, is what you're mainly going to know them for. I think there's some other stuff Bethesda was behind, but they've been working on a new game and Starfield, I think it is, and stuff. And so they showed a little footage of that. But they mentioned a lot of other different games that are kind of coming around. Aliens, Dark Descent. I think it's going to be an online thing from the look of it. It's kind of a top-down playing thing where you're playing as your whatever Marines and killing some aliens and stuff. And it looks like this would be something fun to play with a group of friends. Also did see some trailer stuff for a game called Layers of Fears, which apparently is the franchise of Layers of Fear normally, but now it's Layers of Fears. And looking at this, it seems to be continuing on from if you've ever played this, it's the original is almost some people will call it a walking sim. I mean, but there's a lot of puzzles to solve. It's kind of a scary mystery, and you, basically in order to get the full story, you need to make sure you read a lot of documentation, you explore as you go. It's very much like a living novel, but you don't do a whole lot of reading, because a lot of it is through dialogue with a lot of puzzles. But a new game in that series, which is going to give a different character's perspective, because basically the... Now, I haven't played Layers of Fear, Layer of Fear 2, but James Kennison did talk about it, actually, when he was on last October, because he's played it, and there's actually something pursuing you in that one. But the first one deals with a guy who's an artist, and his perspective of a story. Then there was a downloadable content that was the daughter having grown up returning to this house and a little bit of her story. But this is going to be the story of the wife who had slowly been going mad in the story. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything. Y'all should play these. You can get it fairly inexpensively, these games, for pretty much any system, even the Nintendo Switch. Also, we found out about a remake, and I'm put that a question mark, of The Last of Us, which they're calling now The Last of Us Part 1. That way they can differentiate. And basically all they're doing is they've kind of retextured. There might be some gameplay changes, but overall, it's like the third release of The Last of Us that has been put out. Because you had the original on PS3. They cleaned it up for a remaster on PS4. I have two versions I already own because I have it on the PS3. And then I bought it digitally for PS4 because I thought, I'm going to see how much better it looks. And it looked kind of better. You know, they didn't really change the graphics. But the one thing I'll say with this is, looking at the comparison, the retexturing and redoing the lighting for PS5, it does look good. But essentially, I've played this game multiple times already. And it is a great game. It is brilliant. It's very dark. It's got a lot of language and some thematic mis- I don't know if you'd be a fan of the game, Phil. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, but the story is really good. The Last of Us. A series is coming, I think, to HBO Max based off of it. Oh, I forgot who it. I think it's Pedro Pascal that's playing the main character. But I mean, it's a good story, but there is some stuff that's a bit. We'll talk about it later because I don't like bringing it up on the show. But those of you who played the game, you know. But it was such a good story. Now, the sequel, I did not want to play because after some stuff I learned about the story, I was like, no, that's I don't want to do that. So I didn't play the second one. It didn't sound like it was going to be. I don't think I would enjoy the story near as much and the brutality that they kind of put into it. But yeah, this like this remake. But I'm glad I wasn't alone at this and questioning what on the trailer was put online where it's like, oh, did we need this again? I mean, yeah, that looks good, but I've played it. Can you guys make a new game? You know, instead of making, you know, if you're going to remake it, but it's not that old of a game for a remake, you know. So everybody's kind of like, oh, but it looks really good. We appreciate that. But yeah, you know, just because it looks good, it's still the same game. Although they have talked about they tried to, you know, do some changes to the combat, maybe. But anyways, here's something. I don't know, remember that there was actually any dialogue to this, but there was like a trailer for something called Marvel's Midnight Suns, and it's a Darkness Falls trailer. I'm not sure what... a part of me thinks this is a mobile game. It's some sort of RPG thing. Like I said, I don't remember if there's dialogue in this.
This world has no hope under your watch.
Okay, due to the fact that I'm going to get in copyright trouble because of there's a lot of Metallica's Master of Puppets going on there, it's from 2K Games, but it says here the description is Hell's Army just got stronger. We're going to need some backup. Marvel's Midnight Suns, a tactical RPG from Firaxis Games and 2K launches worldwide October 7th. Now, I think this is the same people who brought... what is the name of the game series that I've seen and I haven't played? Yep. That's really helpful. But I think it's like a turn-based where you're going to control a squad, I think is the idea here. But you're getting to play with some Marvel characters, including Wolverine. But I cannot play the audio of that trailer because that's... Yeah, I don't want to have a copyright strike.
Yeah, basically, this almost a video.
Yeah. But, I mean, Venom and like a lot of your favorite Marvel...
Folk, yeah.
But it's the more... violent Marvel heroes, more the anti-hero types.
Kind of, I almost suspect to see someone like Blade, Morbius, those types of people.
Yes.
Punisher.
Oh, here's something fun. We finally heard something about Diablo 4. Now, have you ever played any of the Diablo games?
I do not recall.
Okay. I finally got around to completing Diablo 3 on a console. This is a franchise that's been around for a good long time. And, I mean, you don't get better. Like, the ultimate villain... that you want to go, you know, fight against would be basically the devil.
Pretty near, yeah.
That's pretty much what this is. It's a fantasy thing where you basically got these devils and you're taking the side of angels, usually. Although, that last one, only one angel was coming to the aid of humanity to guide them to fight against Diablo and his evil dark forces. And it's got some dark, creepy things with some great RPG elements. They're really fun. And finally, we're going to get a Diablo 4. And Rod Ferguson tweeted this out. To be clear, D4 is a full-price game built for PC, PS, Xbox audiences. We are committed to delivering an incredible breadth of content after launch for years to come, anchored around optional cosmetic items and full story-driven expansions. More details soon. Nerco blog tomorrow. So, I mean, because Diablo 3 was set to where they put it completely online, and it's living on online where people, you know, you're basically playing through a lot of the same areas over and over again, but there's just like, oh, there's different things to go and achieve in there, and so it's really fun to play online with others and with your friends. Diablo 4 apparently is going to be similar to that, where they're going to keep expanding upon the game. So I'm excited for that. That should be a lot of fun. Also, ooh, you know what? Here's something that's not a video game. If I can get it to open up. But I can't get the article that I'm referencing to open up. This is also over on IGN. There we go. Spider-Verse 2, which we know is coming. It's been delayed a little bit. COVID kind of slowed things down.
Well, yeah.
But they're deep diving. You know the I don't know if this is the main villain of the of the thing. This might be just one. The Spot. The look you're giving me might say it all. You wouldn't expect that.
No.
The Spot. Which, they did do a pretty good job of bringing him into the old Spider-Man animated series in the 90s. I mean, he basically can throw out spots where he can pour around. You know, he's an interesting character, and he's hard to fight with. You try to punch him, your hands are going to go through it. Yeah, you wouldn't think. But they're going to, you know, but it's being, you know,
I was thinking about when you said that.
Jason Schwartzman.
I was thinking about the scenes from Roger Rabbit. Remember where they take the hole?
Take the hole, put it on the wall, and reach into it. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what the Spot can do. So this could be interesting. June 2nd, 2023. We're a year away from Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse is what this sequel movie says. But yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, this had a very, you know, kind of fun and witty style, that first movie. So
yeah, I like it.
What they can do with the Spot could be fun.
Because the thing I like about that, it was a great show, but I like that it almost does kind of have a Looney Tunes style about that.
In a way,
It's its own thing, and yet it's not so serious that you can't get away with some of those things.
And here's something else. Now, I never played this game when it came out. It was mainly a PC game. But I'm a big fan of the BioShock games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
The people who made BioShock originally had done a game called System Shock, and I think there's a System Shock 2, as far as I know. But they are remaking System Shock to put it on consoles. I mean, this is an old game, so, I mean, they're just rebuilding it. But this is... It's that same, or BioShock isn't really a horror game, but it's kind of a scary environment where everything's gone really off the rails bad. And System Shock, everything's went off the rails bad, but this time it's this computer program that runs the entire thing out in space that has decided it wants to kill you, and that's all I know about it. But it is moving along, and there was, I guess, a trailer of some sort that... and even Shodan, who is the AI or the computer, is actually breaking the fourth wall and talking to the audience about the trailer. But apparently it's coming up fairly soon, and they gave a pretty good look at the game, and impressions were pretty good, apparently, of this. It originally came out in 1994. It basically says it's a horror game set on the space station in 2072 called Citadel Station, and players control a hacker tasked with ruining the plans of a rogue AI named Shodan. No release date for the remake has been given, but the director of business development, Larry Cooperman, said development is largely complete. So I expect we might see this by the end of the year, if not early next year. Guess what, though? We made it to the trailer park.
Mama! Now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that sugar. Come here.
Get him all. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
There was some good trailers that shown out there, and there's actually a Disney Plus trailer that I haven't watched this yet.
Star Command, come in. Do you read me?
There's something so aspirational about Buzz.
We get to grapple with this question. Who is Buzz Lightyear?
I'm Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger.
Buzz is the most upright citizen.
He's the strongest, he's the fastest, he's the estest.
His
his job is to push Woody's buttons.
To infinity and beyond!
We loved that it made no sense.
He's this superhero that every kid either wants to be like or wants to be friends with.
When we're designing Buzz, I thought we had something that was cool.
But we didn't have a clue that this was going to become a phenomenon.
And the stakes are even higher when you're reimagining such a beloved character. He is more than just the character in the Toy Story world.
I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
We're about to release a film about the origin story of Buzz Lightyear.
Andy, the kid in Toy Story, is so excited to get this Buzz Lightyear doll because he went to see a movie. That movie is Lightyear.
And it's about the birth of a hero.
Hello, Buzz.
Buzz Lightyear becomes a Space Ranger, but we also see his heart grow.
We've got an established character that everyone knows and loves. It was up to us to flesh out this whole world.
Ready, Captain Lightyear?
The character design is extraordinarily iconic, and I wanted to celebrate that design. There's a million small details that you have to focus on. His chin is pretty defining. You gotta have the chin. He's got these big round eyes. In our film, Buzz has hair.
This is definitely not the Buzz we know, because it's a different Buzz.
Sensors have detected no sign of intelligent life.
Making a world that feels believable and lived in will allow the emotional story to come forward.
To infinity.
And beyond.
Good luck, Captain.
We're all counting on you.
Roger that.
Beyond Infinity. Buzz and the Journey to Lightyear. Original documentary now streaming only on Disney Plus. And catch Disney and Pixar's Lightyear. Rated PG. Only in theaters June 17th.
Now, as much as that seems like a trailer for Lightyear coming out this weekend, that's actually about a documentary, as they said, on Disney Plus, about Buzz Lightyear and the phenomenon that that character has been. Because one thing they kind of show you in this trailer is the Thanksgiving Day Parade has a Buzz Lightyear balloon. They don't have a Woody balloon, though, do they?
No.
Isn't that interesting?
Think so, no.
Like, Buzz Lightyear has become his own thing as the side character. He's like Jack Burton. Yeah. And, you know, he's the sidekick character, but he doesn't realize he's supposed to be the sidekick. So, so Jack
Don't
Burton, of course, I'm talking about.
Don't you dare say that about Jack Burton.
He's the sidekick
he's
that doesn't
the hero
realize it.
For me.
Yeah. But that's part of the humor of it, is like he is the sidekick and he just doesn't realize it.
Black Adam, what have your powers ever given to you? Nothing but heartache.
I was a slave until I died. Then I was reborn a god. My son sacrificed his life to save me. Now I kneel before no one.
In this world, there are heroes. I feel the pain in my city wherever I go.
And there are villains. Heroes don't kill people.
Well, I do.
My vision has shown me the future.
You have two choices. You can be the destroyer of this world. Or you can be its savior. That's up to you.
Behind you!
Did he just catch a rocket?
He caught a rocket.
All black anything, you know my fresh coat.
October 21st, we see DC's Black Adam, which I know him mainly as a Captain Marvel slash Shazam villain.
Yeah.
But we get like an origin story for him. But I don't really know any more about the character.
I've seen him on several things through DC Comics. He is a villain, really.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, it is The Rock, obviously. So they're going to give, Dwayne Johnson, they're going to give him his own thing. But in reality, of course, he's basically going to take on Shazam.
Yeah.
Which I'm waiting for that. That'd be great. That'll be outstanding. But yeah, he is the villain. But it's kind of going for that thing that they continuously do. Is like, a villain's not really a villain, but he is. I mean, that's what he is.
And I like that where he's talking to Hawkman in this one, where Hawkman tells him, it's like, you know, the heroes don't kill.
Yeah, they. I mean, believe me, everybody wants to. When your buttons are pushed, by that I mean, if you were fighting somebody and they're killing everybody else, I mean, you'd be like tempted.
Yeah. So it'd be a very interesting story and everything, and it looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it looks really good. So, looks really well done.
Yeah, October 21st.
And I think he's the perfect. Talking about The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. I think he's perfect for it. Really, I do. I think he's the perfect casting.
He doesn't need a little padding in his suit to make him look as big as he should be.
And he's also, I mean, everything about him is perfect. He has that kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
And like I said, The Rock really doesn't act. He's like everybody else. He doesn't have. He's the kind of guy. He's a character.
He's a character type. Yep. And he's just got to go and be The Rock.
No, I mean, he has to act bad because he's really not a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he in this case, he just doesn't really have to do much. He just, I mean, as far as change who he is, because he's affable as heck.
Yeah.
Except maybe that's the part that does make he does have to act in this. Because you're going to have to really not like him at times, so that's going to be the hard part.
I don't know if it'd be on the level of like Joaquin Phoenix, what he did in Joker, where you're kind of like, you know,
oh, that was spooky.
He's spooky and cringy. Some of the things he does as he's turning to his dark side. But that's what made that such a good movie. But that's one I don't think I'm watching again because it's wow.
I don't know if it's true. They're talking about making a sequel to that.
I don't know if it's true either.
But it would be interesting if they do it right.
Yeah. But moving on to what Marvel's offering, we've already talked about this movie, but you know what? They actually put out a little something.
How are we doing, guys?
We're all about to die.
You said this would be a relaxing holiday.
I said it was going to be like a relaxing holiday.
Times like this, we need to come together.
Quite a reunion, huh?
What a classic Thor adventure. Okay, we should go.
Thor: Love and Thunder. Tickets on sale Monday.
So yeah, that's kind of just a short thing that they'd put out there. I think the Monday they're talking about has passed, so tickets are on sale if you want to get your tickets early. But yes, Thor: Love and Thunder. Every time they show some more stuff, I'm like, this is going to just be fun. Especially showing him, you know, getting to interact and be part of the Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit more.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm excited for that one. I forgot what day it's actually coming out, but I think it's a couple weeks. I think we're coming up pretty fast on it. Yes, looking forward to it. Other things, I'm not going to play the audio because this is, I mean, these are not really the typical movies or television series that we necessarily cover, but I want to, because it's a geeky, nerdy thing, I want to bring them up and mention. We did get a trailer for a movie called Prey, which is not based off the video game series of Prey. It is basically Predator 5, and it's actually more like a prequel because it is a predator that comes to Earth pre-America days, and then you got the natives running around, and... Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I smell an agenda because you've got a female character she's not allowed to be a hunter in the tribe, and she wants to become a hunter and a warrior, and so she is going to come and clash with a predator who comes to Earth. So, yeah. I smell the agenda probably fitting in there that they're going to make a point of it. But I haven't paid attention to Predator movies anyway in a long time, so I don't care.
I like
I wanted to just mention this coming out. Then, the next thing that I'm going to just mention, but I'm probably not watching this, and I have discussed at length even last episode, that I am a fan of the Resident Evil game franchise, but they have not yet made a movie that I either enjoyed or even wanted to watch. And then we got a Netflix live-action series that every time I look at it, I'm like, somehow or another, it's like, you guys got it wrong again. When they do an animated series, it's not bad, but when they try to do a live-action, it's like, why? How did you mess this up? Again. And again. And again. And there was a new trailer for that, and fans are not really being pleased. But This is another time where you got people who make the movie. They're like, yeah, we never actually played any of these games. We really don't know anything yet. But oh, hey, but there's money to be made if we make a series off of it. And like, yeah, that's not how you make a good series, you know, that's going to make, you know, make the fans love it and make people become new fans of it. So, yeah, you've shot yourself in the foot. But anyways, all right, I'm going to move into a movie review. I'm keeping the show rolling, brother.
Oh, want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A fandom next.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad. I'm fuzzy on
You know what? I'm turning the volume on that thing. I'm just going to let it play. I was meaning to turn my mic back on, and I hit the wrong button, y'all. All right, but you and I, and I would not have gone if you hadn't called for an early, and I was like, okay, I will go with you. And I got you free popcorn, even.
Yes.
We went to go see Jurassic Park Dominion. Yes. And basically, what I told Heather when I got home, I was like, well, what do you do with a film franchise when your last movie you officially jumped the shark? You come back and make the cheesiest action movie out of it you possibly can, and just hope people have fun watching it. And it was stupid fun.
I enjoyed it because, listen, we're talking about Jurassic World.
Unfortunately, Dominion. Not Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World of Dominion. Yeah. I personally enjoyed it because it's what I expect from the films. The first of both films, both series, however you want to call it, Jurassic Park is my favorite. Original.
And we're going to talk about it later in the show.
And my very favorite is that. And then second favorite is Jurassic World, the original of that.
Yeah, because that was actually pretty good.
I enjoyed both those. I didn't care much for Lost World. That was the second film that was made. I didn't care much for that. It was okay. I mean, I don't dislike it, but you know,
it does have Jeff Goldblum in it.
Oh, that makes it makes a lot more fun.
Yeah,
and then but it was that jumped a lot of sharks itself. and then the third one jumped a lot of sharks. But that being said, it still had its fun too because at least it had Alan Grant. You know, Sam Neill,
and that having was visions of talking raptors.
Yeah, and that was funny. And it had good actors in it besides that, you know. But it wasn't great. And then Lost World was fun. But the second one, I liked
what, it. Fallen Kingdom?
Yeah, the second one of that. It was fun. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
But I thought this one, well, the best part of it to me was the fact that you got the original cast with the Lost World cast. That was I really enjoyed that. There's a lot of things about it that I really, really enjoyed. And so I did like it. But it's probably my third favorite of all of them because it brought partially because it brought an end to a lot of things and kind of brought it into a lot of things, even from
Dodson. We got Dodson here.
Yeah, exactly. And it even brought into certain things, even from the first and second film and all that stuff that I was, in the third movie. And if you haven't seen it by now, by gosh, it came out a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
2002 or 3.
Something like that.
Maybe more. But anyway, the point is that I was glad that they finally brought in this sense, you get to see a lot of questions about, Laura Dern and Sam Neill, their characters.
Yeah.
And I was glad about that, to get that to an end. I know one thing I thought was really, in my opinion, stupid. Whenever there was an interview recently with Laura Dern, and they were talking about how in the first movie it was their age difference was just too much, and almost perverted. This is her opinion, because she was so young and for him, and because there's like 20 years difference and all that stuff. And no, none of us knew that because after all, they're actors. And I was sitting there thinking, well, that's not perverted because she wasn't underage and so that's not a whole other thing. But either way, this not to sound mean, she never looked like she was in her 20s in that first film.
Yeah, she didn't.
And so I had no idea. That's so mean sounding. Yeah. I know, but she looked, let's just say she looked a lot more mature, but that's all.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he also didn't look like he was in his mid-40s.
Yeah, he's aged very well, you know.
Yeah, he really is. So
to make him look as old as he is, they had him grow a beard this time, so he has some gray hair.
Yeah.
You know?
but boy, I tell you what, it was really great to see those three back together again. They all do so well together.
Yeah.
And I love Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, indeed.
He's so much fun.
He's just... Yeah. He's just Jeff Goldblum.
And I love that actress that joined him in this one. I don't know her name.
Oh, the pilot.
Oh, yeah. She was great.
She was the Indiana Jones character.
She was.
She even basically said that she was making it up as she goes. Like, the plan is that we land the plane and then not die.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I even looked over and says, I like her.
I don't want to ruin anything for anyone, but there was a scene that freaked me out. They're trying to protect, I can't even remember her name.
The girl that released dinosaurs onto the world?
No, not her. Ron Howard's daughter.
Bryce Dallard.
But what's the character's name? I don't remember.
Claire.
She gets released on a parachute, and because they're trying to protect her from this plane thing.
Yeah, are you better off jumping out of the plane into an area full of dinosaurs running around than you would be on the plane? There was so much stuff that I had to... I would have been banging my head into the wall. Defense, so stupid.
In their defense, they figured they were going to crash or die.
Yeah. Would you rather just die in a plane crash or get eaten alive by a dinosaur?
But in that scene...
Stupid.
I was so... nervous in her position, Claire's position, because she had to crawl out of a position. Am I going to get eaten or not? That was terrifying.
I was not terrified of anything in there. I mean, the first movie, it's an adventure, but it's scary.
Yeah.
Lost World still had some moments of scary. I remember when we first saw it in the theater and had that raptor that suddenly popped up underneath the door thing. We jumped 5 feet, man.
Oh, yeah.
It still had some scary stuff. But
it's Steven Spielberg. Yeah. He was still in there. Yeah.
The Lost World movies have not been scary. And this one, to me, wasn't scary. It was like, ooh, this is an interesting moment. But I at no point thought that anything was going to happen to Claire.
The first one did pretty good with some of that. The Lost World.
The Lost World. It still wasn't scary.
No, it was more like going to an adventure park.
Yeah, and everything's gone wrong. So we kind of expect. I mean, it had some pretty intense moments, but it wasn't scary like the first one. And heck, by the time we got Jurassic Park 3, they weren't acting like animals; they were just acting like monsters.
Yeah,
and it was ridiculous. Which, it's now we lost some credibility.
I will say this, though, in a way, they weren't supposed to be like regular animals anymore because the thing, again, I'm not trying to ruin anything, but I guess if you already seen the first and the second, you'll know. They basically were trying to act like gods, and they're messing with these animals.
They were playing with the DNA a lot.
And making them almost into these mutants. Hybrids. Yeah, these hybrid mutants, and trying to make them into what they thought they should be. So almost them not acting animal-like, almost monster-like, is almost correct. Yeah.
Well, then they're doing it with humans and messing that around. That becomes we had a whole... apparently, we needed to have a virgin-born character.
Or what we thought was.
She cloned herself and made herself pregnant, and that's where the little girl came from.
Yeah.
But she's mixed with some of the same DNA that was used to put dinosaurs out there.
But she wasn't a virgin. I mean, but I know what you're saying. But
she, because it's part of the we don't need no man thing. But, if she'd ever done anything, but we don't ever get that her mother that we see in videos, she might have been so busy with science that she just never had a relationship, but we're kind of getting the virgin birth thing, because she made herself pregnant, by herself. There was a lot of eye rolling pseudoscience that the original the original Jurassic Park. And even if you go, you read the book, it reads like a science book. He thought this out, that how this could happen. Michael Crichton, he put some effort in. This has gotten such a bad pseudoscience that this almost could have been the origin story that Stan Lee wrote for a Marvel hero. Doesn't know anything about science. He's just like, well, what if a radioactive spider bit somebody? Well, he'd get power. Sure, why not? Because he didn't know anything. And that's pretty much what this movie felt like. It's like we went from a movie that began with scary, with trying to be realistic of like, hey, you know what? What this could be possible, to being this is completely and utterly ridiculous pseudoscience now, to where like the credibility, the believability was gone, but it was stupid fun. And I will say, I did have some fun.
Yeah.
But it was incredibly stupid. And right now, the critics are tearing this up. Although people, now the audiences are being like, it was stupid, but I had fun.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where I'm at. I agree with everybody. This was stupid, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
I had a good time.
Well, quite honestly, not that I'm going to get into all this, except that I don't believe in evolution anyway, so I don't. I never did think it was credible.
Now we're going to get hate mail.
I don't really care. I never have believed a lot of the stuff that they said in those films anyway, so I always thought it was science fiction.
it is science fiction, true. Yeah. But good science fiction should have some believability.
So, at least some.
Because the first one, I mean, science fiction, when done right, is believable and makes a point to our own society. And the first one, it really did. And it sums up our favorite line from good old Jeff Goldblum. You stopped, well, whether or not you could, you didn't stop to think whether you should.
You know, one thing I did like in this film.
And also when he talks about that, you're standing on the shoulders of geniuses. You got this DNA. You're waving around like a kid who's found his father's gun.
One thing I did like about this film that I wish that they would have had Alan Grant's character, which is Sam Neill, you know, playing it. I wish they'd had him see it or be involved with it, because I was hoping they was going to have it. There's a dinosaur in here that had wings and everything. Remember they had that one dinosaur in there that had wings and things?
Yeah, like a Triceratops.
Yeah, it had like feathers and all. And
yeah, they're putting feathers on the dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I was I don't know if it was because they was messing around with all these different types of animals. No,
that
and,
is part of the evolutionary thought that they turned into birds, they started spreading feathers.
I really wanted Alan Grant's character to see that, because you remember how in the first film he kept going with that.
Yeah, that was his theory that they might have turned into birds.
Yeah, so I kept thinking that would have been a neat scene for him. It was like, they really are birds or whatever, you know?
Oh, they really are. Yeah. And that's one of the things I find incredibly, it was just so cheesy, is, and I'm trying not to spoil anything, but when they're flying the plane and they get randomly attacked by some giant thing that all it wants to do, it doesn't continue like thinking it's got prey. It just rips the plane apart and then goes away.
Yeah.
Or just randomly. Oh, okay. No good. No for, because see, animals hunt for food or they'll defend, and that's what it felt like in the first Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah, usually
that they were behaving like animals, like you would expect them. If they felt threatened, they could defend themselves, or they're hunting, and you're like, well, okay, you look like food. But this one, it's like when you have like a random where they're just seem like they're just being vicious. You're, yeah, or territorial. Yeah. And once again, we've got to where the animals aren't behaving that way. And we even had like it was interesting, but it felt like a James Bond movie where they had this black market where people are selling dinosaurs.
That was kind of
for
fun.
Military stuff.
Yeah.
And but you end up with the cheesiest chase scene that happened. Yes. And I even looked at it and said, that was the most ridiculous thing I think I've seen. Because especially when you're right chasing down alleyways on motorcycles with the. They had some sort of weird hybrid raptor thing that they made.
Oh, that was going fast,
That you could target with a laser, and they would instantly just, you could control it. It's like, if you pointed a laser pointer at somebody, it would go and kill that person.
Yeah, that was
But they're
crazy.
Chasing through the streets right in the middle of all these people, and the dinosaurs are not really bugging anybody. You know, it's just like, dinosaurs are just running down the stinking streets. And then, okay.
Because in real life, if, let's say, an older person had fallen down, let's say with a walker or whatever, if falling down in front of a raptor, I'm not saying they wouldn't go after their target, but by gosh, they'd take
the
time.
They'd be like, hey, I'm hungry.
They would at least kill them and come back for them.
Yeah, boy.
Because, you know, the claws are what do you call them? Those little claws that they got, the big...
Claw.
Okay, a claw.
We'll call it that. That's what they call it. Six-inch retractable claw.
Retractable claw.
Yeah, as they said.
They would at least take it, slice their neck open... Come back for them later when they're done. Oh, I'll save that for a snack. I'll save Jeremy for a snack, they would say, and they come back.
Yeah, like a jaguar will hide their food up in
a
tree.
That's it. Slash it, come back to that lane, the alley later.
That speaking of slashing the neck, that was kind of a fun little add-in where Dr. Grant is talking about saying, we used to think that they would rip open the bowels, but now they go straight for the jugular.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was funny because really he did the bowel thing. I think he's just trying to scare that kid in the first place. Well, if you want to scare the kid, you got to pull a gun on him.
They did have a lot of funny flashbacks like that.
Yeah.
There was this really great scene. Where
let's not spoil too much now. Be careful.
Oh, you're right. But there are some great scenes where you have Jeff Goldblum saying things that just, it was just so perfect, like from the first movie. Like little things like, I done this and that. And I was like, oh, I love Jeff. Man, he just has a way. I tell you, he's great.
But overall, I wouldn't necessarily recommend seeing it in the theater, other than you might just have fun. It's popcorn, stupid to find.
Yeah.
But really, I would wait for it to come on streaming, maybe. But, you know, if you just want to go out and have a good time, it is worth going out just to have a good time. But don't expect greatness.
Really?
It's fun, but it's stupid.
Really, of all the films, there's only one, in my opinion. No, we'll say two. There's two that I would say are great. Or I'll say one is great. The Jurassic World is...
It was worth watching.
It was definitely worth
it. It's better than I expected
and then,
on that one.
But all the other ones are, we'll say... B or C movies, but
they're skippable.
There's only the two that I'd say would be A+.
Yeah,
speaking of an A+, A for another.
Yeah, speaking of an A+, our major feature content. We're gonna go back in time to 1994, and you're gonna love this. Take a good listen here.
There it is. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
The most phenomenal discovery of our time.
How'd you do this?
Becomes the greatest adventure of all time.
Can I touch it?
Sure.
Universal Pictures presents.
You feel that?
Hold on to your butts.
A Steven Spielberg film.
Fences are failing all over the park.
Yeah, that's nice. Gotta go.
An adventure.
Look out! Go!
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
65 million years in the making. Jurassic Park.
Now, we have to agree the greatest achievement of Jurassic Park was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, hey. He's pretty great in that movie.
Yes, he is.
And he taught me a long time ago, especially depending on what I ate, hang on to your butts.
Hang on to your butts. Exactly. So this is great, the movie, man, that gave us Samuel L. Jackson.
He was in other things before that, but he was...
Well, yeah, because he had the bit in the Coming to America.
Well, he had been, even also with that, remember he was in that, what was it called, Loaded Weapon? And...
Oh, the parody of the Lethal Weapon
movies.
I don't think I saw it.
He was in a couple other great movies, too. But he was awesome. Yeah. He was just awesome.
So that's the one that put him on the map, really, playing Mr. Arnold.
There. He was right after that, in 94. Now, this one...
1993.
It was Jurassic Park. But in 94, Pulp Fiction. Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
And I remember when it was coming out, I was like, oh, that's the guy from Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's great.
With John Travolta.
I love him, man. He's great.
Yep. But I remember when this, you know, when it came out, I was like, oh, this, you know, I've seen the trailer, I was like, this could be kind of cool and everything, but they were pretty good about really not showing a whole lot of the dinosaurs.
Well, they were great, they too.
They were saving the house special, and how amazing this was. Because, I mean, there have been some computer animated characters before this, but this is where we really got to see the potential.
It set it up. The things they did before that were small special effects.
Yeah, but this...
That's what took it to the extreme.
The next level.
And really, it's what was the first big computer effect that set into award winning and all this other stuff that was really out there.
And it still holds up.
Oh, it does. Effects. The only effect that I ever thought didn't do great was what's the name of it now? Gallimimus. It was good, but it wasn't.
It was good. It was still amazing.
It's also the only daytime one.
Right.
So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
All the other ones were,
at night, or it was darker.
Yeah, but what I
mean, that are practical effects they had built.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're practical effects.
So building a huge T-Rex like that with the shakes because it got wet.
It was great. And then the other one, the Stegosaurus. Triceratops. That was one thing I did love about Lost World. When they brought it out, it had ones that we wanted to see, like Stegosaurus and others. And it was so great to see them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Ooh, ah, oh, sure. But later there's running. Later they're screaming.
They're screaming.
Yeah.
I remember to this day, I still do it, but whenever I watched The Lost World for the first time, we were at the theater, we all laughed because we weren't used to hearing him, talking about Jeff Goldblum, him yell for serious. And he says, Sarah. But all of a sudden he just goes, Sarah. Sarah, he yells, and he just looks so funny. We were not expecting it, and it wasn't meant to be funny, but it looks funny.
But it's Jeff Goldblum.
It's so sad. It's hard to take him serious unless he's trying to kill you because he's a fly.
Yeah, but I remember when it came out, I was kind of mildly curious. I was like, well, might be good and everything. But then you had seen it, and you were raving like, you got to see this. This was like Jaws on land. But I wasn't like a huge Jaws fan, so I was like, I don't know. But we went.
Watch what you say.
Jaws is a great film. But it's not one of like this. It's not my type of thing, generally. But we went after vacation Bible school, where we typically go to the drive-in.
Jaws with claws, they said.
You called it Jaws on land. I remember you told me that.
But people call it Jaws with claws.
Yeah. But we went right after vacation Bible school on Friday, where we had the tradition to go in the drive-in. Mm-hmm. And so we watched it in a drive-in, and dude. Oh, and that movie was freaky. Well, but I love the T-Rex scene. That is still my favorite scene.
We went with this black guy, and he said, man, he loved it. He goes, man, because he loves Samuel Jackson. Yeah. And he didn't know, he didn't say him by name. He goes, man, he goes, I love the black guy. He goes, and he gets eaten.
Spoiler warning.
That's what he said. He goes, he gets eaten.
Yeah. Nothing said, left but his arm.
That's
man.
What he
yeah.
said to me. He goes, how come they all, this is his words, not mine. He goes, how come they always go for the dark meat? That's what he said to me.
Oh, no.
That's what he said to me. I laughed so hard. If I had said that, I would have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But that's like, because they say if you watch the in horror movies, if there's a black guy in there, he's going to get it.
That's what he told me. And he told me, he said, he looked at me, he said, the moment it started, he goes, no. He goes, the white people are going to live. That's what he said. He goes, that's what he told me. He goes, I know it. But it's a great movie, great I tell movie. You.
But now what's funny is now the second time I'd seen it. Because I was telling like Jim and Nick, you know, my neighbors, the McCoys there, how great of a movie it was. And they hadn't seen it yet. And we all went on in an afternoon. And I was like, I knew when stuff was coming and what was going to happen. And I had the soundtrack by then because the theme music is so great. But I remember watching, it was different getting it instead of a drive and being in a theater because you had the nice big full surround sound. Yeah. So I enjoyed it so much more. But I remember looking over. And I wish I could demonstrate where you all could see this, but Jim, way back down in the seat like this, watching, just like, he had sunk way
low. I was already, even before I saw it, I was into it because I had a substitute teacher who I talked to a lot, and he would read novels and things when we were working. I'm talking about when we had to do like tests and things, and he wasn't doing the teaching at the point. And he's reading this book by Michael Crichton, and it was called Jurassic Park. And I said, I've heard of a movie coming out about that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's like, he goes, imagine if you went to Disney World. That's what he told me. He said, imagine if you went to Disney World. And this is before we saw the movie. He goes, imagine if you went to Disney World.
And the Pirates of the Caribbean ate the tourists.
No, what he said to me was, he says, imagine you went to Disney World. He goes, and all of a sudden one of your rides, he goes, what if you went to the Haunted Mansion or Pirates or to Small World? And all of a sudden, he said, whatever your favorite animatronic thing is, it came to life and it started hunting you. And he because he said that to me, I had a nightmare about the Haunted Mansion coming to life on me.
Man.
And it was terrifying because the people who hitchhike at the end, they truly did jump in and started trying to kill me.
Oh.
It was terrifying. And I told him the next day, because he was there for like 2 or 3 weeks, I said, thanks a lot. And I told him. But that gave me a terrifying idea of what they should have made a Haunted Mansion movie into. Anyway.
Heck, there's people that think a Small World movie should be about getting trapped in there overnight, man. And all the children coming to life.
Oh, that'd be terrifying. Anyway, that's why when I first heard of it, he was telling me about it. He read me a little bit of it, and it did sound great, and I did read the book.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I got my audiobook, so it's still somewhere.
I was working McDonald's at the time, as you know.
Yep.
And I remember they started selling the cups before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And that's when they brought the rib back.
The McRib.
They brought the McRib for that. And I remember that night, maybe a week or two before the movie, and I remember the first cup, I was getting ready to close, and I was sitting there looking at the cup, and there was a picture of the kids in the car, the truck, the Jeep, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and, the Ford Explorer.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and I'm seeing a bit of the T-Rex, like its foot and all that, and I'm looking at it, and I could tell that it was storming on the thing, and it was storming outside.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there eating a rib, and we're about to close, and I remember I saw the lights of some kind of a car coming by. It looked like a Jeep or something outside. And I saw lightning striking, and I couldn't help but thinking about what this movie is going to be like. Mm. And I was getting so excited. And when it came time to do the dishes in the back, I remember looking at my cup back there and kept thinking, I just can't wait to see this doggone movie.
Yeah. Heck, I had a couple of posters on my walls. I remember I had one of the T-Rex, and I had one of the Raptors that says, "You are what I eat." Yeah, I had posters, had the soundtrack on cassette, had the single first that had the anthem and then the theme on that, and then I had the cassette soundtrack.
You remember, I went and bought the whole thing and stock on a still and all that.
Yeah, it's just because of John Flippin' Williams.
Oh, I love John Williams.
John Flippin' Williams is just, and having the new movie with having a few callbacks was pretty cool, but the original John Williams soundtrack and scoring is... simply brilliant, and it really brings the whole thing together and grabs the emotion to it. It's, I mean, such a great film. I'm going to have to go home and watch it, brother. Yeah,
he's still unbeatable, in my opinion, John.
Yeah, indeed.
Even in the new Obi-Wan show, his music is great.
His one did that theme.
Yeah. It's so great.
It's great having an Obi-Wan theme from Johnny. Yes, Johnny Williams, the maestro.
Y'all can't see it, but in my room is, like I said before, it's filled with lots of stuff.
Toys.
I have Jurassic Park toys and things on the wall, and even the film that I have. I have the first three in a set that look like the doors.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
And of course, you know, I would love to have ridden the original ride that was in Universal. Now it's become a Jurassic World ride.
Yeah, I have the original. I've done the original. Yeah,
I wish I could have gotten. I've never been to Universal Studios theme park, but I would love to have seen the original ride because it had some of the original music even in it. And
I accidentally lied to someone.
I've seen some video of it though, at least.
I accidentally lied to someone and I said that it wasn't very much of a drop. Now, luckily, they didn't go with me on it but I originally thought that it was going to be like a 20-foot, 30-foot drop. It was like an 80-foot drop, no joke. It was huge. And,
well, it had to be big enough for that big T-Rex to come swinging up in there.
That's what it is. You go in there, there's a big old T-Rex, and I'm telling you, but man, it's fun. And that T-Rex comes right at you. Woo, doggy. Well,
yeah, at least used to. Now it's a completely different ride. But what's funny is when you watch a video of it and you realize it's like it's on this swing and it swings this full body T-Rex. So it's, I mean, if it was just a head, it would be believable. But when you see it, it's like the swing, the feet and everything. And it's just kind of whoop. But when you're in the dark and going down a hill, you can't tell. It's just this thing comes out through the waterfall.
Yeah, but there's wind and everything. So it feels like breath. And that's the thing about seeing it's cool. But living it feels like. You feel wind and there's even odor. And by that, I don't mean that you smell, you know, T-Rex breath. But I just mean there's a certain odor and air of being in it almost like... you're like in a ride of a swamp type of thing feeling, and they did such a great job.
But now, what was fun with Jurassic Park is, you know, the inevitable being in the 90s, the video game tie-ins.
Oh, of course,
the Super Nintendo got one version, which I thought was kind of weird. But the one that I enjoyed was the one on the Sega Genesis.
Yes, I remember.
They gave you an option between playing as either Dr. Grant or a raptor. So it's almost like you had two different games, and the music of it was great. It wasn't like the John Williams stuff. What in the world was that?
I don't know. I barely moved this, and I did a wing.
Ooh, but you know have all this great music and everything, and then having the actual sounds used in the movie for the dinosaurs in that Sega Genesis game, made it so cool. And I remember for the longest time, me and my friend Megan, you know, because she had a copy of it, and she was. There was cheat codes to get to the last level, but trying to figure out the exact spots, because the idea is you're up on the skeleton, the T-Rex skeletons or whatever, and the raptors are below, and you're supposed to throw something and hit certain spots on the skeleton to make it drop on the raptors, and then you win the game. Could never seem to hit the right spots. Yeah. Never quite done it. I've seen video of it now, but you know, never could beat that game. Except for being a raptor, it was actually hard because you know you were trying to get to Dr. Grant at the end, and I can't remember how we finally figured out how you could get Dr. Grant. But Dr. Grant was constantly throwing things at you as a raptor when you're getting the final battle with him, and he was actually pretty tough to get to as well. But I think I did beat it once as a raptor, but I could never beat it as Dr. Grant because I couldn't ever find the right spots to hit the skeleton that makes it fall on top of the raptor, and then you get away. So, but it was a fun game, and I bet I can find it on an emulator. I feel like playing it now. I want to watch the movie. I want to go play the game.
Problem is, for me, going back in time and playing games like that, it's not like Pac-Man where it is what it is and you just do it. But when you go play a game like that and you're remembering how fun it was then, and then you play it now and it's not.
Oh, I had it on the PC. I was for the room emulator, and I got to play with it and everything. I still had a good time.
Oh, there you go.
Still had a good time. Yeah, it's great stuff. But like every good movie had to have a good tie-in, and sometimes it didn't make sense. Like everybody, you know, like the NES Batman video game. There's a lot of people that are huge fans of that. But I'm like, yeah, there's nothing about that that felt like the Batman game. But then you find out it was meant to be a different game, where they just put Batman on top of it.
Because,
and it's like, because you played it, like, wow, this is very not Batman.
Yeah. So.
This has nothing to do with the movie. What in the world?
So. And the thing I didn't like with Jurassic Park toys, I like the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But the action figures, when they first came out, they looked really nothing like them. Kenner had a thing about doing that back then. So he had a blue shirt, but it was a t-shirt. And it was he had khaki pants, and he had the hat. But besides that, looked nothing like him. And then the new ones are amazing. But then, but then at the time, they were nothing like him. The only one that ended up looking like him was like the, I don't know, it was like 1997 when they brought it out. And it was one of Jeff Goldblum. That one was perfect. But all the ones before it, nothing like him. Oh, yeah, there were nothing like him. Except the dinosaurs were great. That was it. But here was the weird thing about the dinosaurs. You, they had a thing where you could, like, I guess because it was meant for...
You rip skin off of them. Yeah, you rip skin off of them.
Be parts of ribs showing and all, remember? That was it was weird, but kids liked it because it was, believe it or not, toys at one point in time were made for children.
Yeah. And kids actually played with toys, you know, and they didn't play with their phones.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But yeah, you could have like a, you could have a dinosaur bite off another one, and you'd bite off a chunk of the skin and stuff. Like, yeah, they made all kinds of different toys. Even dinosaurs you didn't see in the movie, they would make a toy of it because kids love dinosaurs. Dinosaur toys have always been a
thing. They've always been a popular thing.
Yeah. But, oh, you know, after that movie, I wanted a Ford Explorer in the worst way.
Oh, yeah.
They just made Ford Explorers cool in that one, and, you know, getting it painted up would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, that should be a thing now. Maybe I should get myself a Ford Explorer. And actually, I don't think they make those, but they have a different kind of SUV now that I think I've looked at that I told my wife that we should get one. I think it's a Voyager, a Ford Voyager.
Just go ahead, stuck in on that song now.
But the funny thing is, like, the advanced technology that was in the park and in that movie is now so funny. Look, an interactive CD-ROM!
Yeah, well,
that's so dated now.
Yeah, back then, that was the thing. It's a Unix system. Yeah, but back then, that was the thing.
That was high tech at the time.
Spare no expense.
spare no expense. Oh, and that's the first movie I'd seen David Attenborough in.
Oh,
Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I'd seen him already in a few things.
And then him playing Santa Claus later was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Just a year later. A year and a half later. That was great.
But yeah, he was just a great actor. He was so great at the character because he made it where he was, because the Hammond in the book, he's not quite as lovable.
No, he's not at all.
But the way he played it made him a lovable, and you understood him. I love the scene they have where he's explaining the flea circus that he used to have.
He was on The Great Escape.
I need to see that movie.
That's great. Yeah, he's the main guy, really.
I tried to watch it once, but I had something else I was having to do at the same time, so I didn't get to pay attention.
I say main guy. What I mean is he's the main guy. He's leading them out of there.
Yeah. Because Steve McQueen's your main man.
He's the main character in that sense, yeah. The main one you know. That movie's filled with great people, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we should wrap this up.
Sure.
Because I think we've been at this for, once again, about an hour and 20 minutes.
There you go. It's all your fault. Like the episode. All your fault.
But we're talking about a great movie.
It's one that I don't think will ever be beat. Well, the thing about that film. I saw
it 15 times with a girlfriend at the time of the Dollar Movie.
I saw it 15 times at the theater. Because here's the deal, folks. That's what I was going to say when you brought that up.
I miss Dollar Movies.
They were. Yeah, me too. The other thing is that film was out for a year.
Yeah.
For a little over a year. And movies don't do that anymore.
Right.
It didn't come out until, like, I want to say October. On video, October of 1994. Something to that effect, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because, I mean, geez, my girlfriend at the time. That was our idea of a date, is going out to watch that movie again.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. We did it a lot.
It was, you know, it was a lot of fun at the time. Just kind of going out and seeing. I went to the Dollar Theater, and I didn't just see the Dollar Theater, but we'd go out and see, and then it went away for a short while, brought right back again. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And they re-released it on an anniversary. I didn't get a chance to go out there and see it again, but that's okay.
I went and saw it a couple of times when they brought it back out because it was a big thing for me, seeing it at the theater. And I saw it with someone, and that was a lot of fun, going to the theater. And it had a big screen, and it was loud, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, there's something about when I'm at the theater and I'm seeing some of those types of movies where it brought back feelings, you know.
Feelings.
I even got a Jurassic Park game I play once in a while, and it came out last year where you're building your own Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah, those Jurassic World games.
Mm-hmm, that's great. Yep.
I played with the first one of that a little bit, where because the one that, like, the second one, like, you got, it seems like you're building conservation areas because they've all been released in the world. The one I got, the original one where you're just building a park, and I haven't unlocked where it lets me to sandbox and just create the classic Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I can do that.
So. I've got the ability to do it, I guess, but I just haven't sat and done it. And I've been playing
some of those dadgum dinosaurs when I'm trying to build it are busting out the whole time because I can't turn it on. Well, they got
to give you something to do.
And I'm like, I want to shoot you.
Yeah. And that's been kind of a thing. I mean, there was a mobile game for a while where you got to build your own park.
That's fun.
And then you had to try to keep control when a storm would hit the island and all the predators would go crazy. And you're like, tap, 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 tap. Yeah, there's been lots of different games along the way, but we need to wrap this up.
They even have one where you're building the parks like in different states. Like, I was building one in Washington State.
Yeah, that's the second game.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And it's fun because now you have to try one, build one in Arizona, and then it's like, wow.
And you're building like conservation areas and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Which is, that's pretty fun. But anyway, like I said, we need to wrap this up here. So I want to remind you all to visit neverlandpodcast.com. You can find our shop there where you can get t-shirts, which maybe we should put a dinosaur on the shirt. I don't know.
There you go.
But also on our website, you can find mypodcastreviews.com and a big text link. Click on there. You can leave a review there. You can also, if you got a podcast, you need to see what your reviews are around the world. They'll let you know what your reviews are. It's great. We want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro of this. Don't forget, you can email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com because when we tick you off, we like getting your hate mail. No, not really. I'm just kidding. Follow us on Twitter, although I really don't do a lot on Twitter. Twitter is kind of a cesspool, so I don't like Twitter, but we're there. You can follow because I do post stuff occasionally to Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
Well, we like Elon Musk.
Yeah, facebook.com, Neverland Podcast. You can find both a like page and a group. I try to post when I find something neat and interesting. I'll try to share it on there. Here's the voicemail number. I don't know if it works. 816-226-6492. I'm supposed to get a notification if somebody actually leaves a voicemail there. Join the Neverlanders, of course, on the website. We still have a thing where you can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. I haven't really pushed that in a long time. And also, please consider donating to us on Patreon, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. I do have that link on our website, and you can go and help make this show happen by helping with the cost, because I do incur quite a bit of cost myself to keep this show rolling, which I'm having fun doing it, but I'm hoping you're having fun with us, enjoying the show. And so if it's worth $1 a month to you, I'd appreciate it. You can, and when you get that $1 a month thing, you know what? Those ads that you hear in the show, they go away. You get your own RSS feed as long as you're subscribing through Patreon, where you don't hear the ads. Wouldn't that be special? So if the ads you hear at the beginning and the ending of the show annoy you, well, that's how you make them go away. Make them go away. But until we see you next time, we're going to have a lot of fun with Buzz Lightyear next time. But until then, get lost.
In an adventure.
I was going to wait for you to say it. I figured, all right, Phil loves that line. I got to let him say it once.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.